to our podcast Step Into the Future, which is about fashion, sustainability and social change. My name is Katharina and I work for Melaware in the PR and sustainability area. Melaware stands for Fair Trade and Organic Clothing, produced in India. Currently, I'm studying for a semester in India at the Tata Institute of Social Sciences in Mumbai, short TISS. At TISS, I also have met today's inspiring podcast guest, Vahid, with whom I'm going to talk today about Rana Plaza. And for everyone who's maybe not so much into the topic, now a short recap. So the factory collapse in Dhaka in Bangladesh, also known as Rana Plaza, occurred the 24th April 2013. And 1,134 people died and another 2,500 people got injured. Even though very severe cracks at the building have appeared the day before the accident, the garment workers were ordered to work. The building contained 5 garment factories and they were all manufacturing textiles for big global and also German brands. When I first met you, Vahid, you told me that you were working together with Germans in Bangladesh in your home country. And then I, of course, started to raise further questions and you told me that you worked with a German development agency, GIZ, in Bangladesh, and you were actually involved into the whole compensation program for the victims after the horrible accident of Rana Plaza. So through that, you met many of the garment workers and their family, and you heard their stories and got insights like I think probably no one else. And yeah, that's why I'm very happy that you are today willing to share these stories with us. And you even said you want to give the victims of Rana Plaza today in this podcast a voice. So Vahid, now to you. Can you maybe briefly introduce yourself and tell everyone who you are and which background you have and what are you also currently doing at TIS in Mumbai here?
Thank you, Katharina, for having me in this program. I born and brought up in Cox's Bazar, a border area of Bangladesh close to Myanmar. So here in Mumbai, Tata Institute of Social Science, I am doing my PhD research. And my focus of research is diversity, religious syncretism, and its impact on development. The main debate is whether the diversity influences to development or it creates any problem to development. That is my focus of research.
Okay, yeah, that sounds really interesting. And but before you worked in Bangladesh, and when the accident happened, how did you get actually to know from Rana Plaza, and how was the reaction to it within your country and within Bangladesh?
Actually, in 2014, the year that accident happened, I was completed my master's program, and I moved to Dhaka from Chittagong for a better opportunity. On the day of 24th April 2014, I was sleeping in my shared room. We call it as mess in Dhaka. And I got information from my roommate that a building collapsed in Sabar, a very close city to metropolitan of Dhaka. I took it as a general incident. And I see later on when I see the television, I open the television and I see that crisis of people. And after that, I see the 8th Street building shows like a sandwich that all floors comes in a single floor. And I try to visit the place of Rana Plaza nearly in every day and experiences the pain of workers who were stuck inside the collapsed building. It was very tough to identify the faces of the dead body after 3 or 4 days. And I think that a small portion of the family members received the wrong dead body and carried it to their villages and buried to their home. I have seen people's reaction among the people of Dhaka in urban, and I have seen that they're coming to the area adjacent to the Rana Plaza, preparing food for the relatives who are waiting for the missing worker of Rana Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very tough for anyone to control. So I tried to support there. Later on, I involved with some institutional capacity like Rana Plaza Coordination Cell and Rana Plaza Claim Administration. These two organizations play a major role of rehabilitation, at the same time the compensation of victims.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but so at that time in 2014, you still studied in your master program in Bangladesh?
Yes.
And then you just went to the city where the accident happened?
Yes.
And you just talked with everyone and helped? Or how did it... Did you just go there and offered your help? Or yeah. How was it organized?
Actually, I helped... there's a field, separate field, very flat, big playground, identify the dead body and people's coming, the family members coming, and I worked as a volunteer there.
Mm-hmm.
To identify the victim's dead body.
Mm-hmm.
When they are saying that, oh, this is my relative's ones or my daughter's sons.
Mm-hmm.
Then we ask some questions if they can testify that this is the clause or this is the here, this is the identical marks.
Wow.
Then we deliver the dead body and by giving 20,000 cash by signed by magistrate.
Okay, and how was it for you? I mean, it was a really tough job, and so many people injured, so many dead bodies. Yeah,
it's very chaotic in some cases, because all are crying, the relatives, after 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, they are not getting their family members, dead, even dead body, that they do not know where they are.
Yeah.
So at the same time, there is lots of dead body that is in the Adachandramath, but no one is coming or no one is able to identify them.
Mm. Yeah.
So, and smell, bad smell is also coming after 3-4 days.
Yeah.
So it was a very tragic.
So Waheed, what happened to the workers after the accident of Rana Plaza, and what happened to the families who lost their family members and their bread givers? Can you maybe give us a short introduction?
Yeah, it's common that the dependent family members became helpless by losing their breadwinners. Those who survive from the collapsed buildings become traumatized, and even I have seen that they make shout when the lift start with a normal jerking in a 5-star hotel like Westin in Gulshan. While I was trying to engage them to rehabilitate in hospitality sectors, the children of the victims who lost their father or mother or father and mother both, they are still facing the crisis of this disaster. I want to share only one incident here that I found in my research that I conducted in last year by funded by Center for Higher Studies and Research, Bangladesh University of Professionals, with two of my colleagues, Mehdi Hassan, who is studying in Washington, and Nigar Sultana, she is also doing PhD in Australia. So the child name is Sakib, son of a deceased worker, Parveen, who was living with his father during the time of compensation.
Okay, so father, he lost his mother.
Yeah, he lost his mother. So, and father convinced the authority or the compensation administration that the boy is living, child is living with us, so we are the right person to receive the compensation.
So the father got all the compensation money for the son?
Yes.
And he said that the son is living with him?
Yeah, they convinced us like this. But after getting the compensation in a joint account holder and at the same time in a separate account holder as a husband, he remarried another girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he left Saqib, and now Saqib is living to maternal grandparents' family, though they have not received anything from the compensation authority.
So Zaki, the little boy who lost his mother, he is now living with his grandparents because the new wife of his father is not accepting him. And the grandparents didn't receive any money from the compensation fund. That's the problem you were facing. And it's also a problem that the father didn't tell you the truth.
Yeah, a stepmother do not like Saqib.
Yeah.
And as a result, she behaves rude to Saqib. And that's why Saqib is now living with maternal grandparents' family.
Okay.
Though they have not received anything. And they're not so rich men. And they're very old age. And what will happen after their death?
Mm. Yeah.
So this is the case that are faced by the victim's children. Though the authority have disbursed lots of compensation to the victim's children, with sometimes in joint account holder, sometimes in a different format, but they're not getting the benefit due to the monitoring systems or closing the administration just after the compensation process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you really, it was a very complicated process how to decide to whom the compensation money of the brands and also of the governments had to go, and how to distribute it in a fair and equal way. And in some cases it didn't work, just in the case you told me now.
Yeah.
And but actually, how have you been involved into the work after the Rana Plaza incident, and how did you get the job of this distribution of the compensation money?
Actually, I want to start with the Rana Plaza Coordination Cell. It was a central coordination body established by the government of Bangladesh with assistance from ILO and ZIZ. After the accident, lots of organizations and individuals contribute, but due to the lack of information, we have seen that some victims or survivors getting more benefit and some are not getting, because those who return to their villages from Dhaka, they are not able to get the information of services available for them. The individual donor, like you or me or any other persons who wanted to donate something, they also face some problem because they are not able to identify who is the right victims and who is not getting the compensation. Like these challenges to reduce the overlapping and the gaps in the rehabilitation process, a coordination cell established to reach to all victims based on the needs with transparency and accountability. As a social worker, I find that though first 2 or 3 months government agency like the magistrate office of Sabar, we call it Sabar UNO office, and the Dhaka district commissioner's office, including people's, was very sympathetic to the victims and their families. But later on, due to their other workload in their organization, they tries to skip and reluctant to hear the voice of victims. So I find that by hearing their voice from 10 to 30 minutes, sitting in the office of Rana Plaza Coordination Cell, reduce some stresses or pain from their mind. When they are able to share their problem, even though I was not able to give any direct benefit to them, it works as a psychosocial support to them. Within 2 months, I was able to meet nearly all survivors and victims' relatives. I find them, those who survived from Rana Plaza garments, I am not interested to engage them under the high-rise building, including the garments industry. Later on, Rana Plaza coordination cell takes initiative like livelihood support, creating self-help group, medical support, giving training of tailoring and driving to reintegrate them in other sectors. So this is all things happen in Rana Plaza coordination. This is the central coordination body. And up to the compensation process, it works.
Mm-hmm. And can you maybe once again explain how the GIZ, the German Development Agency, what role did they play, and how did it come that you worked then also for them after you worked in the Rana Plaza cell?
Yeah, actually, after this dangerous industrial accident, it got a huge media coverage, and that's why lots of countries contributed into that matter. So they forced the government to build a permanent framework, and that framework established by the assistance of GIZ. GIZ okay. have given the framework of the Rana Plaza coordination cell.
Mm-hmm.
And ILO, as a part of UN, United Nations, have given the fund to the government.
Okay.
So under this single umbrella, now all the NGOs like ActionAid, Save the Children, or Handicap International, Red Cross, Red Crescent, any other local NGOs, bilateral organizations, comes in a single organizations, names Rana Plaza Coordination Cell, and they are the main focal point to coordinate among these organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So GIZ have played a vital role here to organize the to mobilize all organization and to give a framework of Rana Plaza Coordination Cell.
Okay. And but how did the negotiation process of the victim then started?
So after this short-term rehabilitation process, now comes to the compensation issue like so actually some international labor rights organization with some local activists plays a vital role here. I can mention Clean Cloth Campaign, Labor Behind the Labels, Bangladesh Garments Shromik Shanghati, Industry All, Bills, etc., etc., that contributed a lot and forced the brand who used to source product, their item from the Rana Plaza. The brand like Primark, they start their process after the accident happened.
Mm-hmm.
They have disbursed 50,000 taka, which is equal to the $15,000 to the all victims. Later on, there are some brands like Benetton's and some brands that tries to avoid the negotiation process, claiming that they have not sourced any cloth from Rana Plaza building. It is true that in a scenario of Bangladesh, there is some small scale of garments industry. They're not able to export their items directly to any big buyer. So they usually used to contract with third party some in Bangladesh, and through this they used to export their garments items. So and I personally found that some portion of cloth that is labeled with the Benetton, though they have denied that they have not sourced any product from Rana Plaza. So however, even though this evidence, there is no any contract with the garments industry of Rana Plaza, so we face problem to bring them to the negotiation process. But those who voluntarily or by force contributed to the Rana Plaza compensation process, ILO plays a vital role here, and GIZ have given the assistance. To implement this, another body formed in the name of Rana Plaza Claims Administration, in short RPCA. So first I say, I have already mentioned the Rana Plaza Coordination Cell as a central body. Now it is another cell, this Rana Plaza Claims Administration. So there is a short differences. First one is responsible to cover the all issues of rehabilitation process like medical, health and everything, livelihood support, driving training. But here Claims Administration was responsible to disburse the money only.
What do you think has changed in the textile industry in Bangladesh since the incident has happened?
Yeah, Katrina, I agree that changes have happened after the world's deadliest fashion tragedy. The Accord as European initiative and the Alliance as North American initiatives was formed for safety in fashion industry in Bangladesh after Rana Plaza tragedy. So what they did? They inspected most of the garments factories. They did inspection inside the factories, especially regarding the building constructions, electrical facilities, fire safety, which are the main reason behind the accident of Rana Plaza. In some cases, they suggested to close some factories. However, due to their level of satisfaction in terms of safety for workers, they're leaving Bangladesh by this year. But the process will continue by the remediation and coordination cell with the support of International Labour Organization. It includes the government agency like Raju, Department of Factory Inspectors, which are officially gives approval and have the responsibility to look after these issues. Apart from the ensuring the safety and standard wages, most important thing is that as per the report of 2019 by United States Green Building Council, Bangladesh has the highest number of green garments factories in the world, and 6 are in the top green garments factory. So what it means? Green building means less carbon emission, and this is better for our environment, which also includes the workers' safety. All in all, I think days have changed in the history of apparel sector of Bangladesh after Rana Plaza.
Okay, good. Interesting to hear. And I think in Germany and Europe, the accident also made many people think about how their clothes are made, and started a movement called Fashion Revolution, or also known as Who Made My Clothes, where people raise questions, who are the persons behind their textiles, behind their t-shirt. And it's always this event is happening in the week of April 24th, so during the time of when Rana Plaza happened. And Melaware is also participating and showing this year in a little campaign how or who are the workers that are producing their textiles. And in every, like, they show every step of the production, and there we like show the people behind them. And but now I come to my last question, Wahid, which is, what is your dream or wish for the future of your home country, Bangladesh?
Yeah, to answer it, I have to look back that the garments industry in Bangladesh has a long history. Even in the 17th century, Bangladesh used to produce fabrics named muslin cloths and exported them to Western countries. Even at the time, workers were exploited by the British colonial power. Secondly, I want to make it clear that it is the apparel industry that is empowering the underprivileged women in Bangladesh. So paying for their work is more dignity than paying for aid through NGOs. So European and Western stakeholders have to consider paying a fair amount for the works so that they can live a good life. I was an activist before joining my present job, but still, I feel I want to work for the garments workers of Bangladesh, which leads me to conduct studies and make policy recommendations based on my findings. So after completion of my PhD, my dream for the future is to establish a center which will contribute to research and capacity building in RMG sector of Bangladesh. Yeah.
Thank you, Wahid. I really hope that this dream comes true very soon and you can establish this important center. And thank you also for the insights you gave us today. I really hope that an accident like Rana Plaza will never ever happen again. And companies all over the world are finally getting responsible for their sourcing practices. So I wish you, Wahid, all the best and hope you will continue this important work. And thank you for listening today. We are happy if you follow our podcast, Step Into the Future, on our Melaware website, on Spotify or iTunes, or when you recommend it to your friends. Thank you and goodbye.
Thanks to Katrina. Thanks to all.